kids. It's time to get some SML podcast all up in that.
Oh my God, my room looks so bare right now.
Because you got all your shit packed.
All my posters except for one are down right now, so it's just a white wall behind me.
Oh yeah. I click back over and I see that now.
There's nothing.
That's depressing.
It is so empty. Like the shelves behind me, nothing's going on up here. Well, those are gone. I have a couple of amiibo left.
You only got like 47 more boxes of collectibles to go.
Oh God, you don't even know.
Like, that's probably an accurate number, even though I pulled it out of my ass.
Let's see, one, two. I'm going to guess about 20 more, realistically.
Oh.
15, 20 more.
Ashley doesn't want to kill you for, like, needing a moving truck just for your amiibos.
Oh, she wants to kill me for multiple reasons.
Oh, okay. There's one good way to test your marriage. It's a guarantee every time. If you want to know if your relationship can survive, move houses.
Well, this is our 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6th time moving in 10 years.
David and I moved twice in the last 14 years.
Good Lord. Well, hopefully this is our last one for a while, because we're buying a goddamn house.
Yay!
And I'm just realizing this should all be on the show. So what's up, everyone? This is the SML Podcast. I am your host, Joe, joining as usual. Cole, how are you doing?
Hi, I didn't die.
I'm just, like, running through it.
Right?
It is fucking hot. It is still fucking hot. I still can't have my air conditioner on during a show. So
yeah,
I am...
Yeah, turn mine off.
I am going to be sweating during the show, and I am happy to announce I am not wearing any pants.
I mean, are we supposed to wear pants when we do this?
You could. Pants optional.
Oh, I don't.
But I usually wear pants, so I feel like I should make that announcement and be proud of it. That, damn it.
Pants are problematic. I don't.
Fucking hot for pants.
We legit got to 110 degrees yesterday.
Fuck that.
Yeah, and that was just, like, the actual temperature. Like, I think they said after they factored in the heat index and everything, it was, like, 131.
Good God.
It was just unbearable. They had broadcasts on the radio and stuff telling people not to leave their house for anything.
Yeah, I could see that. So. That is ridiculous. No time for games in chat saying it's not that hot here, but it could stand to be cooler. It could stand to be cooler pretty much everywhere but Antarctica right now.
Yeah. Yeah, pretty much.
Climate change isn't real, right?
Oh, that's a whole different kind of podcast.
It's a hoax. On today's episode of Hoaxes and Myths, the female orgasm, hoax or myth. So how are things? How's your week going?
It's mostly okay. I got to go to the orthopedic surgeon, got set there all day in the heat.
Nice.
But I know what's wrong with my fucking leg now.
What's wrong with your fucking leg?
I tore my MPFL. That is the fancy little ligament that runs from side to side and holds your kneecap in place.
Mm.
And mine is essentially dead.
Do you want to know how I can tell it was a bad sign what was wrong with you?
Mm.
Because when you messaged me on Twitter saying, hey, this is what's wrong with me, I told Ashley and she had a confused look on her face like, what the fuck is that?
Mm. Yeah, the doctor, like, he come in with my MRI and he sits down and he goes, how'd you do this again? And I was like, yeah, I fell while I was mopping because I left out all the worst parts of it. And he's like, he says, this is
you
an injury.
Lied to your doctor?
I just omitted information.
Oh, Lord.
But he's like, this is an injury that I see in car wrecks and football players.
Jesus Christ.
And I was like, yeah, I'm neither of those things. I'm just fat and clumsy.
Proud of you. Very, very proud of you.
So I'm like the most unsporting person in the world, and I got a sports injury. But they don't think I'm going to need surgery on it. But then again, like, the physical therapist was like, oh, we're not even expecting this to heal. We're just going to have to teach you how to use your leg like it is.
Wow.
And I'm like, fuck me, because this is not good. I haven't been able to bend my knee in over a month. So I don't know what they're expecting me to do here.
I don't know if I've ever heard that before, where it's just like, we don't think you're ever going to heal. So,
no, because I was like, I said, I'm a chemo patient and I have rheumatoid disease. So how's that going to affect this? And he's like, yeah, you're just not going to.
Well, the medical term is absolutely fucked. Yeah, that's the clinical term.
It's the clinical term. That's exactly what it is. It's just like, rip you.
Jesus.
You know, and it was funny because the occupational therapist, he was all like upbeat about it. He's like, no, we'll get you back to hiking and everything. I don't hike, for the record. I do like to go camping with my family, but I don't fucking hike. And I haven't since I was diagnosed. But he was just like so upbeat about it. And then like the physical therapist is like, no, fuck that. We ain't doing shit with you. He was far more realistic.
So are you even going to do physical therapy, or are they just like, no?
I'm waiting to hear back because my rheumatologist might not approve it.
You're a lost cause. It's not worth it.
Well, yeah, because I saw a rheumatologist that I was seeing a few years ago actually didn't want me doing physical therapy because that kind of like strenuous, impactful exercise on somebody whose joints are as severely degraded as mine is just going to make it worse. And so we have to like balance out, is fixing the knee worth the additional damage it's going to do to the fucking joint?
You know what the upside is?
I don't need my knee to play video games.
I was going to say more time for games.
It's basically all I've been allowed to do. I haven't cooked dinner in a month, and I feel sorry for my husband, but it's been fucking glorious.
Our chat room has no time for games, and you have all the time all for the games time. Now.
All the time. I finally hit 200,000 gamer score, and now I'm just like, by the end of the year, I'm going to be at 4.
Maybe.
What else am I going to do with my life?
You're going to pass me soon.
I'm working on it. It's a conscious effort.
I think I'm like 414 or something like that.
I've gone up insanely quick. 2 years ago, I was at like 40,000. I was around 42,000. And then by the end of that same year, I was up to 80,000.
Good Lord.
And then this year, I've hit 200,000. And I just like, once I started getting games and easy gamer score, it just snowballed and got insane really quickly.
Your gamer score jumps up when you get 4 new games a week, huh?
Yeah. Unless they're like stupid, crazy, hard platforming stuff where I'm like, I hate this and I don't know how I'm supposed to function in life.
We'll find you more of those.
Okay. The terrible part is, like, I like those kind of games, but I look at the achievement list and I'm like, if I beat the first world, I'm happy. I'm like, I succeeded. I have very low standards.
Oh, I should hook you up with As Divine Hearts, that, like, half of the achievements are different endings of the game.
That feels like Binding of Isaac, where I beat Mom and I was like, I did it, I'm done. I know there's so much left.
Oh, yeah. Nope.
Don't care. I beat it. I beat Mom. Mom was the boss, and I'm done.
Yeah, well, As Divine Hearts isn't a twin-stick roguelike. It's a full-on JRPG. So that'll be a time sink if you want all the achievements.
You mean, like, is it like Nier?
No, it's like old-school NES, Super NES RPGs.
Like the old Final Fantasies?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow.
And I am so excited. It's the first Kemco RPG coming to Xbox One. It is coming. It should be out by the time you hear this. We will be having a review probably next week or a little bit later. Depends on how quickly Dark Mika gets through it.
No.
Because I'm throwing her to the wolves for that one. The fuck was that?
The rabbit.
Oh, God.
Normally she's asleep right now, so I must be making too much noise.
Tranquilizer dart.
Yeah, I need like an elephant tranquilizer. That rabbit weighs 15 pounds.
My cats are fatter.
Yeah, but she's a rabbit.
I've seen some big ass rabbits in my day.
She is. She's actually a Flemish giant. So like her whole purpose is to just get huge. And she's incredible. And I love her. And like she's my bestie. And she hates that I have the wrap on my knee because my knee is right next to her cage. And her cage is under my desk. So, like, she'll come over when I've got my knee wrapped up in the ace bandages, and she'll come over and, like, pull on it to take it out because she just thinks it throws off her world that there's something different about me. And so she keeps taking my bandages off. And then I'm sitting there going, that's all well and good, but now I have to wait till David comes back to fix it.
Cole, why is your knee not healing? Well, you see, I have a rabbit.
My rabbit won't leave my bandages in place. Because she's fat and hateful.
On the plus side for me, it sounds like I had a better week than you.
It does? Tell me about your week.
The only really bad thing that happened with my week is I bought an NES Classic last week and it didn't work.
That's a thing?
Yeah.
Like you just plug it in and it's dead and you're like, well, I could have went to a pawn shop and got one for $20 for that.
Well, I think I just got a defective one right out of the box.
They're going to fix it, right?
I returned it to GameStop and they already ordered me a new one. I just have to wait for it to ship.
Didn't you already have one of the NES Classics?
Long, long, long time ago. Like the first run that they had, I had one then and we were getting tight for cash. So I ended up selling it for like $200.
Oh, makes sense.
Yeah. I normally don't like doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
But someone offered me that much for it, and I wasn't going to say no to an offer.
Yeah.
Dude is just like, oh, man, you have? I've been trying to find it. How much do you want for it? I'm like, man, I don't know. What are they going for? I don't know what they're worth. I haven't been paying attention to that. He's like, dude, I'll give you $200 for it right now.
Damn.
Okay, here, let me unhook it.
My sister bought hers. I don't have one. But my sister bought hers off of eBay, and she paid, I think, $150 or $160 for it.
Yeah.
And that was, we spent months, like, I called GameStop for months every single day for her trying to find one. We finally just had to give up and buy one off eBay.
And now they're back in stores.
Yeah, well, we still haven't seen any around here. Because she was like, oh, well, I need to get you one for the girls. And I'm like, and we haven't seen any. So.
Well, they just hit stores again, I think, on Friday. So it hasn't been that long that they're back.
Wasn't there another run, though? There was another one not too long ago, like a month or two ago.
No, the NES Classic just came back.
Yeah, she was talking the SNES Classic.
Yeah, this is the old, the NES.
She was like, I don't care which one I get you. And I was like, okay. I don't care either. I'm going to play my Xbox because those don't have achievements. I'm old and I need autosave.
No. Personal opinion, if you ever do get one and you can only pick one or the other, I think the Super Nintendo Classic has better games.
Interesting.
Yeah. The NES has like 10 more games, but I think the Super Nintendo has better games.
Better.
And they've just aged better. Final Fantasy III is on there, and that's one of the greatest games of all time in my eyes. Legend of Zelda, Link to the Past is on there. That's another one of the greatest games of all time. Super Metroid, another one of the great... What I'm saying is the Super Nintendo was like one of the greatest systems of all time.
But none of them have Mortal Kombat on them.
Yeah, that would bump the rating up.
I need Mortal Kombat in my life. Do you know how many days I spent as a kid using Jade and getting my sister trapped in the corner and just whacking the shit out of her with those sticks? And then she'd sit there and go, I'm not playing with you anymore. And my sister, that's even more funny when you realize that I was a kid, but my sister was 14 years older than me. And
oh,
she would get mad and pout because I kicked her ass.
This is bullshit. Flip the table. I mean, if you're looking
have time for that shit.
If you're looking for the old Mortal Kombat games, check out the Midway Arcade Collection on Xbox 360.
I actually have one of some of the old Mortal Kombat games on 360.
Well, the Midway Arcade Treasures or whatever the hell it is, it's like 30 games or something like that. That's backward compatible.
Oh.
Yeah. And I think brand new, it's like $20.
Oh, I have digital. Some credits too. That's not bad.
Yeah, so fire up your 360, look for that one, and they're the arcade versions, so you'll have all the blood and gore, but they might be a little bit tougher.
I like, as long as I can lock somebody in a corner and beat the shit out of them with Jade, I don't mind.
Yeah, you can always just plug in a second controller and just be like, fuck it, sacrifice a lamb.
Number one, come here, hold still. I'm going to make my child hate me as much as my sister did.
Stop pushing buttons. I'm going to kick your ass and you're going to sit there and take it.
Which was the Mortal Kombat X, I think it was, on 360. And I talked my best friend into getting it to play with me. And that lasted like 4 games.
Oh, God.
He was like, I'm not ever playing this with you again.
Wait, and was X on 360? Or was X the one on Xbox One? And I think 9 was on 360.
It might have been 9. But it was hilarious because he really, like, they announced it, I think it was 9, and they announced X, and he was like, don't even say it. We're not getting it. No. And he won't. I didn't buy it because who the fuck was I going to beat up on? David? He knows better.
Online. That's what it's for.
Yeah.
Beat up some random strangers.
That's the thing. Like, I go to online and then I get my ass handed to me.
You probably deserved it.
Probably. Definitely.
Oh, man. We should probably tackle a little bit of the news, huh?
Is there news? Are we talking about things?
Yeah, I don't have a lot of news. I think because of 4th of July this week, there's just not much going on.
But, were there any game fireworks? Like, did somebody make Toadstool out of fireworks or anything?
Not that I know of.
Son of a bitch.
I'm sure it's possible, but nothing. I didn't really pay attention to any fireworks this year. I spent a couple of summers in Tennessee with my dad. I wish I could remember what the lake was that we used to go to, but it was pretty much half the people from Tennessee, like the entire state, would go to this one lake and all shoot off fireworks. And once you live through that, like your own personal fireworks mm-hmm. show that you get to participate in, fireworks just don't matter to you anymore.
Yeah. We have something similar to that. It's about 2 hours from us, but they call it Red, White, and Boom. And, like, I've never gone, though, because I have horrible social anxiety, and there's always, like, 400,000 people there. Mm. And you're like, okay, so, like, 95% of the state is here right now, and I don't have time for that shit. Watch it on TV. Somebody will upload that shit to YouTube, and I'll be like, ooh.
It could be like that one year in California where they accidentally set off all of the fireworks at once.
I am so surprised shit like that doesn't happen here more often just because of dumb rednecks.
It was insane to, I don't know if you've ever seen that video or not, but it was insane to watch.
They do a little fireworks show in our town, and we usually go to that. But given the whole bum leg thing and the heat advisories and the whole, like, everybody was all, don't go outside. We just didn't. And that was like the first time in 5 or 6 years we haven't gone. Oh, well.
Fucking heat.
Yep. We sat at home and David grilled burgers. And I was like, this is a perfect holiday. And it was because we didn't do anything. Those are my favorite kind of holidays.
Good way to do it. Good way to do it. But let's see. What kind of news do we? I only have like 3 bits of news this week. So if you have anything to chime in with, that would be awesome. But, 2 games were added to the backward compatibility list this week. Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon Advanced Warfighter and Assassin's Creed Liberation HD, which means every single console Assassin's Creed is playable on Xbox One.
How happy are you that from now on, when we're talking about backwards compatibility, I can't bitch about Liberation being my favorite Assassin's Creed and not being backward compatible?
Now it is.
Now, everybody can just be like, fuck yeah, she's going to shut up about that.
I think there's only like 2 or 3 Assassin's Creed games in existence that aren't on there. And like 2 of them are mobile and one's on PSP that never went anywhere else.
Is there one on PSP that?
Pretty sure. Because I've seen people talk about the one on the PSP that's not on any other platform. I think it's Bloodlines or something.
Hmm. I'm not sure. Liberation was originally only on the Vita, I think it was.
Yeah.
And then we got it remastered on Xbox.
Yep.
So
now
maybe
it's on Xbox One.
Yeah, I am excited about it though. I'm really happy because I think there's one achievement I was missing from the completion, and I can just go back and get it real quick
without turning on your 360.
Without turning on the 360. It's so I don't have to go sit in my kid's tiny ass cramped room that's overflowing at Monster High on My Little Pony to get an achievement. I get to sit right here in my fat person chair and be happy.
And get an achievement.
And get a completion even that I've been like 6 years sitting on because fuck it, I don't feel like going and getting on the 360. Chalk that one up to a loss.
I was at a GameStop up at the mall, our local mall, when the backward compatibility announcements went live. Just out of pure luck, I was there at the right time, and they did not have Tom Clancy's Ghost Recon in stock.
That is one of the few Tom Clancy games I have not played. I feel like I rented it, but I don't think I owned it.
Yeah, I had to settle for Amazon, where instead of paying $2.99 at GameStop, I had to pay 90 cents.
Oh, you poor soul.
I know. But then there was shipping costs, and it was like, it was almost $5. I'm like, good Lord.
It wasn't Prime?
No, it was a third-party seller, because I didn't want to pay like $18 for a new copy.
Monsters.
Yeah. So I paid 90 cents for a game and $4 for shipping it.
Wow.
Hopefully it shows up in good shape. It was the cheapest one they had, but it was listed as very good, which means it's supposed to be complete. If it comes in and it's just like a disc only, what do you do? Do you complain about a 90-cent game, or do you just chalk it up to, eh?
I would probably be inclined to just be like, well, that was a thing that happened. But I'd bitch about charging me $5 to ship a disc because media mail exists.
No. Media mail also takes a long ass time.
It takes like a week.
That's a long ass time.
I've ordered shit from China through the Wish app, and that takes like 3 months. And by the time that actually shows up, you go, the fuck is this? I didn't order anything.
Years ago, I ordered a poster from Europe, and it was for a game that never came out in America, Disaster Day of Crisis on the Wii. And I ordered a poster for it because it looked awesome. And I had my Wii modded at the time, so I was able to play it that way. And I ordered it, and a month passed, and the poster never showed up. And I know it's coming from Europe, so it might take a while, but there's only so long on eBay that you could, you know, get in touch with the people and be like, hey, nothing ever showed up. So I contacted the guy, and I told him, hey, I hate saying this, but the poster never showed up. He's like, no worries, we'll send you a new one. Like 3 weeks later, the replacement came in. Another 2.5 weeks later, my first poster showed up.
Damn.
Yeah. So that was a long time.
At least you remembered you bought it, though.
True. Nowadays, I'd probably forget because my memory sucks. Oh, let's see. What other news is there? EA has confirmed that 5 titles are going to be coming to the EA Access Vault in the next 3 or so months. No dates were announced, but there's some good games coming to EA Access. Did you see the list?
I did not see the list.
The first one, FIFA 18, so, whatever.
Okay, sports balls.
Feh.
Oh, I did see that.
Feh, or Fee, or Fey, or however you want to say it.
I do hope that more people play that, because it was incredible.
Burnout Paradise Remastered.
Already?
Yeah, already. In the next 3 months. I'm guessing it'll be, like, later in those 3 months.
Isn't, like, 7 months kind of the record for something coming out and going into EA Access?
I don't know what the record... I want to say the record is, like, closer to 4 or 5 months.
Was it Titanfall 2 was...
That was a pretty quick turnaround.
Yeah, because they were... Especially since they were hollering it was never going to be there.
Yeah. Well, they said the first one was never going to be there.
Was it the first one? I thought it was the second one. They were like, Nope, never going to be in EA Access. And then they were like, ta-da!
Yeah, it was the first one.
We changed our minds. Please come play with us.
It was the first one because they didn't own Respawn at the time.
Right. Okay,
it was just a publishing deal.
Yeah.
The Sims 4.
That makes me wonder, though, is The Sims 3 in EA Access?
No.
So it's not because it's not backward compatible either.
Correct.
Yet.
Yet. Because the final game on the list is not backward compatible yet, but it just got announced that it's coming to EA Access, Dante's Inferno.
Yeah, I saw that. And I'm pretty excited about that because I missed out when it came out. And so now I get a chance to go back to it.
I hope it gets a 4K update so that we have 4K Satan dong.
Like, can we even, like, believe that I skipped out on that game when it came out?
Yeah, with Satan dong, I'd expect you to be right on that, Satan dong.
My dog's name is Dante. Dante's Inferno is my favorite book. What was I doing with my life?
Seriously, how didn't you play it?
We had that rule where we only bought one game. We didn't only buy one game, but a game had to be played by both of us if we were going to buy it.
Mm.
And it was too horror, so David wasn't interested in it. So I didn't get it.
Too horror?
Yeah, he said it was too horror-ish.
There's like zero horror in the game. It's just an action game. It's like God of War.
David would probably say that's too horror, too.
Like God of War, but with Satan dong. Again, Satan's dong is in the game, just bouncing around. Final boss battle, you're just dick flopping.
You can't say there's no horror and then say there's Satan's dick just flopping around. Like, that's pretty horror.
Nah, it's magical.
I mean, by my standards, sure.
I guess, what was it? I think spiders crawl out of some girl's titties. So you have spider titties. Those are always fun. That might be horror-ish.
Spoiling it for me.
There were screenshots of that.
Spoilers!
But screenshot. It's a good game. You're going to be excited when it comes out. Do you have EA Access?
I don't currently. Usually whenever like there's something that I want to play, I'll pick it up for a month or whatever and be like, yeah, okay, this is fine. And then I'll blow through whatever I was playing and then I'm done.
Nice. Oh, Doc Havoc is correcting me that they are bat demons that come out of the giant evil demoness titties.
Bat demon boobs.
Bat demon titties. Titty demons. Last bit of news I have. Are you into Funko Pops at all?
I'm not.
Are you into breakfast cereals?
Fucking no.
Funko has announced a line of breakfast cereals, not surprisingly, called Funko's.
Wow.
And
why did you have Carnage on for this part? Just be like, come here, we need you to do one piece of news.
Because then he wouldn't leave.
Good point.
Yeah. They have announced 6 different varieties. I think they are all the same, just red fruity O's, but they have different brands because each box is going to have a mini Funko Pop figure included with it.
Wow.
Shockingly. The worst part is they're all going to be like store exclusive shit.
Ugh.
So GameStop is going to have Mega Man Funkos. Hot Topic is going to have Cuphead and Mugman Funkos. FYE is going to have Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th. Someplace called Box Lunch is going to have Lord of the Rings Gollum Funkos.
What is Box Lunch?
I don't know. I never heard of it before. And then Funko's own website is going to have Freddy the Funko Mascot Funkos. No pricing has been announced yet, but my guess is going to be like $20 a box.
Probably.
Because I know like FYE sells novelty cereals. Like they have the New Day, Bootios, they call them. They have, I bought a box of strawberry Smiggles from, Rick and Morty, which is literally just a box of marshmallows.
Is this really a thing?
Yes. Strawberry Smiggles, FYE. And they're like $13 a box. I bought them on sale, so don't worry.
Did you eat them?
No, because when I bought, when I ate the Bootios, those were basically like Lucky Charms. Bootios. I ate Bootios. They make sure you ain't booty. But I did not eat the strawberry Smiggles. When I bought them, I thought they were going to be like Lucky Charms as well. But I didn't know they were just a box of marshmallows.
That was a very expensive ass box of marshmallows.
Funny as hell, though.
True, but that was an expensive box of... I'm a cheapskate, so all I can think of is that was expensive. You buy a fucking marshmallows at the dollar store.
Yeah. You're buying the brand, obviously. And again, I got them on sale. So, but yeah, no word on the pricing, but they announced that there will be more cereals added through the year. So if you're a Funko collector and you like breakfast cereal, you're going to be poor. I don't know. But yeah, that's the news I got.
There, like, shut up and take my money.
Any news on your end? Anything that anything fun you saw this week?
I didn't. I was too busy trying not to die and
I'm trying not to die.
Surviving a heat wave with a bum leg, so I didn't follow any new stuff. That's your job. I'm just supposed to be here for witty commentary.
When is that gonna start?
Probably next year.
Oh.
There's like a phase in period.
I just want to point out that I texted my wife 20-30 minutes ago, something like that. 28 minutes ago, and I asked her for 2 bottles of water, and she just now delivered. Thank you, honey.
I was cracking.
For your timely service. Oh, fuck. One fell. Oh, hun. Hun, you'll get a kick out of this. Cole, what did your doctor say that, or the physical therapist said that with your knee, it's pretty much beyond hope?
Yeah. Yeah. He was like, oh, we're not even going to try to heal it. We just want to teach you how to work with it as it is. Just good luck to you. Bye.
Good luck.
Nice.
You like that?
Perfect.
Figured she'd get a kick out of that.
It's a good thing I don't need my leg for this show.
Yeah, you'd be kind of fucked if you were. Or if you needed it. One of those words. I guess we'll just jump on to reviews then. Sound good?
No, I'm not jumping anywhere. We'll talk okay, about them, though.
We will slowly mosey on over to the reviews.
Okay, I can do that.
All right, first game to talk about tonight is called Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered. Ah ha ha, the pun. Because it's on Mars, get it? Get it?
Do I get ya? It.
Remastered? Instead of remastered, it's Mars. Do you get it?
It just sounds like you have a speech impediment. Or like you're from Redneck Land. Yeah.
Remastered? Red Faction Guerrilla Remastered. Originally developed by Volition, port developed by Kaiko, published by THQ Nordic, released July 3rd on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $29.99. Set 50 years after the climactic events of the original Red Faction Guerrilla allows players to take the role of an insurgent fighter with the newly reestablished Red Faction movement as they battle for liberation from the oppressive Earth Defense Force. As you can guess, this is a remaster of Red Faction Guerrilla, originally for the 360 and PS3 and PC. And, it is beautiful. Like, some people out there have said that they haven't really seen much of a difference between the original and the remastered version. And I 1000% call bullshit because I fired up my 360 version of the game and it looked ass ugly. Like, super, compared to this new version, like, they have fully enhanced, reworked all of the textures in the game. Everything looks crisp. Everything looks clear. Game, if you've never played the game, you, have just arrived on Mars and you are thrust into a situation where you are forced to join the Red Faction and fight the oppressive government who basically want to kill you in the first 5 minutes of the game. So you kind of really feel, yeah, these guys are dicks and they need to come down. Gameplay is open world action, very similar to the GTA style game of you have a big open world map. You go do missions, you go do side missions. You could free roam, which is what I have been doing nonstop. I think you watched me stream and in the entire time I did a mission.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you took down one building and then you just went off on your own after that.
Yeah. I did a single mission and that was at like the tail end of the hour and a half I streamed, something like that.
Yeah. That's all right.
I did a mission, a single mission. Missions are your standard fare of like go here, follow directions, do what you gotta do. Very standard action, third person action fare that you would expect from an open world game. So if you've ever played anything similar, you know what you're getting into. You're just going to break shit, which is the best part of this game is the destruction. When the game first launched, it was lauded for the destruction elements where all of the buildings in the game are destructible, like fully destructible. That is very much the point of the game, is to take down these buildings, destroy everything you can, drive through them if you want, which I had a lot of fun doing repeatedly. It is just, good Lord, the destruction in this game is so satisfying. It blows my mind that we haven't seen games come out with this level of destruction. I think Crackdown 3 is the closest we've seen to destruction this much.
Yeah. Old school Battlefields had a lot of destruction in them too, but not even still to the same effect as what
And Red such Faction a such does. A different genre as well, where the old, you know, those Battlefield games, they're all self-contained maps, where yeah. Red Faction is a huge open world.
Yeah, it's still quite a difference as far as the destructibility goes.
Yeah.
Is destructibility a word? It sounded good.
Yeah, it sounds good enough.
We'll roll with it.
If it's not, fuck it. It is now.
I made a word. I'm Shakespeare. But it's definitely different as far as that goes, because like I said, you were in Battlefield, you were on small little maps and you could blow up buildings and vehicles and stuff, but you start a new game and there it's back again.
Yeah, with Red Faction, it is all persistent. If you destroy a building, you could come back to it 12 hours later and it's still gone. You can take out parts of walls and you'll drive by hours later. Those chunks of walls are still missing. There's like, little sheds that the enemies, I don't know, like a toll booth. Oh my God. I can't talk, but kind of something like that where you're just driving along and there will be a little shed off to the side that the EDF are in. I think they're the EDF. I probably have the initials wrong, but whatever. We're going to go with EDF.
That the
EDF are in, and you'll plow through it and just take out a big chunk down the middle of it and drive away. You'll come back, you know, 20 minutes later trying to return from a mission and that chunk is still there and you could just drive right back through it. It is just, I've never had so much satisfaction destroying shit in a game since Red Faction Guerrilla last gen. It is just so satisfying to blow up buildings, to use your hammer and just hammer down. I had more fun using the hammer to kill enemies and destroy buildings than I did with explosives and rocket launchers. It is just, beating shit with a hammer is magical.
It's probably quite cathartic.
Yes, that is a perfect word for it. It is such a stress reliever. And I've had this whole moving situation and buying the house situation, I have been so stressed. And this has been such a stress reliever for me that, I love it. I love it, love it, love it. It is not all good. Load times feel a lot longer than they used to be. It might just be rose-tinted glasses that it felt faster. Load times are noticeable. They're not deal breakers, but they are noticeable. The cutscenes in the game are still the old videos from last gen, so you're going to see crystal clear gameplay during the actual gameplay of it. Then a cutscene's going to play and it's just going to look grainy. I think they may have up-resed it a bit, but they look like cutscenes, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like, you could just tell that this is not done in-engine. This is a pre-rendered cutscene and it looks kind of fuzzy, kind of blurry. Again, it's not a deal breaker at all. It's just very noticeable. Overall, $30 on this one. That's another plus, is they only went $30 for the price tag on this when we see so many remasters come out at $40 and $50. $30 on this, absolute must own buy if you have never played the game before. If you have played Red Faction Guerrilla before and you just want a nice, better looking version of the game, gameplay wise, it doesn't change anything. It's the same game that you've played, the same game that you know and love. And if you loved it, you're going to love it again and it's going to look better and you're going to have fun just breaking shit, because that is the core, the heart of this game, just breaking shit. And I love it.
Nice.
Yes, it is very, very nice and cathartic. Thank you for that word. But Next game to talk about is called Slime Son Super Slime Edition, developed by Fabroz, published by Head Up Games, released June 22nd on Xbox One for $14.99, coming soon to PS4 as well. Slime Son was minding his own business when suddenly a giant worm appeared and gobbled him up. Deep within the worm's belly, Slime Son has to face a decision: be digested by the incoming wall of stomach acid, or jump, slide, and slime his way through the worm and back out its mouth. Cole, you said you like difficult platformers. What'd you think of this one?
I think I've been pronouncing the name wrong.
Why? What have you been saying?
Is it Slime San? Because my redneck falls out. Be. I don't know. I don't know how to weeb. I'm assuming that's a weeb thing. Anyway, it is a difficult platformer. This is definitely in the same vein as Super Meat Boy or like old school platformers that are just, they only exist for the sole purpose of seeing if you can get through it without pulling yourself bald headed. Like, because you will be that for, like, breaking a controller isn't enough. You're just going to pull your hair out.
I thought you were taking a jab at me with the bald headed.
No, like, that's just legitimately what it's going to do to you. I will look like you if I try to complete this game.
I miss my hair.
We can glue some of mine that I pull out on you. And then, have you ever wanted to be a curly-haired ginger?
Sure, bring it on. Let's do it.
The game is really well done, though. In early levels, this is kind of where it differs from other platformers of this type. You kind of feel like, you know, the training wheels are on, but you're like, yeah, I got this. This is so easy and I'm going to be fine. And it gradually adds different mechanics as you go along. So rather than just platforming, you discover that, oh, no, anything in the level that's red will fuck your world. Don't touch anything red. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, oh, there's a green barrier here. You have to, like, warp through that mesh, or you have to dash. And as it gradually adds these different mechanics that you have to master, it gets so insanely hard so fast. And you're like, why is this a thing? It's fun, though, because as soon as you die, you immediately start back over. And you're just like, oh, well, I'm here. I might as well try to do it again.
Yeah.
And it's a horrible trap. It's a trap to keep you going. The problem is that sometimes where it throws you back in so fast, just the level design means as soon as you start, you're dead again. And then you're sitting there going, but I didn't even get to touch the controller yet. And that is probably one of the most difficult things about it. The game has a very retro aesthetic. There's only 5 colors used for the whole palette. Like, mm-hmm. the screen, the level itself only takes up about as much screen as it would if you were playing like on an old tube TV. It's that kind of dimension. And then there's just like extra padding on the side, if you will. And it's got that 8-bit retro vibe to everything.
Yeah, I love the visual style of the game. We covered this one a couple of times in the past, and that's been one thing that I always come back to, is I just love the visuals of this game. It is such a unique style.
It really is. One thing, though, is that the visuals, the color palette, like I said, it's limited to 5 colors, but it is red and green and pinks and greens and blues. And so it can be unavailable to somebody that might be colorblind.
I could see that.
But they're ahead of the game here because they actually have colorblind settings. And you can go in and there are different checkboxes for all the different types of colorblindness to adjust the game for those situations. And if that's not enough, there's an RGB slider. And you can just straight up change the colors to whatever the fuck you want.
That works.
Because I actually had a problem with some of the colors, just the way they reacted. The green and the pink and the red all together, it gets a little much. And so I just went in and just muted the colors down. And I was like, oh, this is so much better. I am okay with this. Another thing, too, I was playing on the Xbox One S, and I was having some kind of, like, freeze the... Not necessarily full-fledged freezing. I use the term micro-freezes. I don't know if that's a proper term or not, but it would just kind of hang sometimes when the screen was really busy. There's a art effect that makes everything look grainy because you're inside the belly of a worm, goddammit.
Yeah.
And so it makes everything look kind of grainy. They clearly know this is an issue, though, because you can go turn that off, too. And if there's anything I appreciate, it's the ability to turn off shit that annoys me. The only thing I'm
still here.
My God damn it. But the only thing I do wish is that there was an easier mode. Like, it's normal, and then it's just fuck your life hard. There is no easier settings. And one way that would have benefited is that if you're in a level for too long, the stomach acid starts to come for you.
Yeah.
Because you're in the belly of a worm. And so if, like, you could have an easy mode where that didn't happen so that you could take your time and figure out the solution to the puzzle. It's very obvious that the devs want you to die over and over and over to figure it out and kind of, like, blindly grope your way through the solution.
It's a good way to put it.
But it would just be really helpful for people like me who have hand issues and stuff if you could just, like, not have to outrun stomach acid till you figured it out and then set it up harder difficulty once you figured it out to go through it properly.
Well, I know Fabraz has been incredibly receptive of feedback, and they've released a bunch of updates and content for the game, which is all included in this version. So I honestly wouldn't be surprised if he heard this and took that into consideration, because that might be something that just never came up, that someone with rheumatoid disease is enjoying the game, but they just don't have the speed and dexterity required to outrun the stomach acid. So an easy mode might be a possible future addition, or who knows?
Right. Like, I don't put that out there as a, like, oh, they'll never fix it. It's due. No, I hope that they hear it. I really do. Because it's not something a lot of people think of. I think I've mentioned it before, but only like 1% of the population has rheumatoid disease.
Yeah.
It's not something that comes up, especially, you know, as far as games goes, because that is, you need your hands.
The rheumatoid reviewer, exclusively on the SML podcast.
I'm a special butterfly. Fix your games for me. But it would be nice if it was just something. It's odd given how many other settings are available. And there are settings for just literally everything. You can change your character, and they have different abilities and different payoffs. And like you said, there's the extra content. There's like 4 extra campaigns with their own levels.
There's like a huge open world hub that you can talk to people and unlock
insanity.
Stuff.
You can so unlock much costumes. Content. And it's really impressive. So just please let me have easy mode. It seems like such a small thing to ask for, given everything else that you've done.
Very true.
You know, it was a lot of fun, though. Even though it just got to a point where I was like, ah, it's hard. One of my favorite aspects of it is that, given the way the worlds are built, the different levels are laid out, a lot of times with platformers like these, you just go, okay, I have to figure out where I'm going to jump to, and that's fine, and then I'm done. This one, you have to figure out, where am I going to jump to, and how am I going to land when I get there? Because, like I said, there, everything that's red will kill you as soon as you touch it. That goes for enemies, that goes for walls, that goes for floors. If it's red, you're fucked. And so you can't just go, oh, I'm just going to jump and hit that patch or hit that platform over there. Because if that platform's red, no, you're not.
No.
You have to figure out, oh, I need to jump in such a way that I fall and then dash and then jump a second time in order to actually get to the next platform. So it really forces you to to consider the levels and be creative in how you overcome them and not just go, okay, well, if I wait a few seconds, I can jump and I'm done.
Yeah. And to get good.
Get good.
The important part, get good.
But please give me easy mode because I can't.
Well, without the easy mode for $15, what do you think of it?
I do give it a very recommended try. It. Like I said, I can appreciate all the effort that went into giving it the color blindness settings and all the different functionalities and the extra campaigns. And this is just a long-ass game with a lot of content. It's definitely worth it.
Awesome. Yeah, I love this one. I'm glad you enjoyed it as well. But next game to talk about is called MXGP Pro, developed and published by Milestone. It released July 10th on Xbox One, PS4, and Steam for $49.99. The official video game of the Motocross Championship is back. Download MXGP Pro and live the entire MXGP experience as a pro. This is, as you can guess, the next installment in the MXGP lineup from Milestone. Basically a yearly series now. New iteration looks phenomenal. It is a gorgeous, gorgeous looking game. In the past, I made mention where you would see like tire tracks in the dirt, and I always kind of wish that you would like leave your own tire tracks and stuff like that. And I think you finally do this time. There have been a couple of laps where, unless my eyes are playing tricks on me, my tire tracks were consistent in following laps. Like a couple of races, I even purposely would veer off to the side where there was just solid dirt, and I would come back around and I would see my old tire tracks there. It's such a little thing, but it is so much more immersive to have that there. And I really dig that aspect. The game is what you would expect. They have the circuits that you could go through. They have the championship, single races, a full-on career mode where you can even banter back and forth with people after races. People will tweet at you, and you have an option to respond either positively or negatively, and you could build rivalries that way, sign sponsorship deals, all the full, you know, range and array of career mode options are there that you would expect from a Milestone game. Customization. Why can't I talk tonight? Oh, it's the heat. Yeah, that's right. Character customization is fairly lacking. It's, you know, the same ugly faces that you get every time, but given you wear a helmet 99% of the time, it's not a huge deal breaker.
Can you still not be a female?
Of course. I don't think there's any females on the MXGP tour. So what are you going to do? The motocross championship. What are you going to do? You should be the first one and be the change you want to see in the world.
Okay. I can't even drive a car.
You'll get there. I believe in you. For the people who are new to the game, they do have a lot of really in-depth tutorials and training sections that teach you all of the advanced game mechanics, like full-on tons of tutorials and training missions that you can do. They have the compound again that they had in the past. I didn't really need to bother with it that much, as everything could be done via the main menu and it's a lot quicker. I didn't see any collectibles in the compound this time, so it's still just a good place to ride around and get the feel for things, but it feels so unnecessary this time. And that's kind of a bummer. I liked on, I think it was the Monster Energy Motocross last year that had the collectibles in the compound that I really enjoyed. It gave you a reason to explore.
The tutorial area too. Like you could go back and do the training.
Yeah. It's basically the tutorial again this time around. You start off that way, but I wish there was more to do on the compound.
Yeah.
It feels so empty and lifeless this time around, but you know, there's trails you could explore and just drive around. Load times are pretty brutal in this one. I noticed plenty of times where I'm just like, even going back to the main menu, I stared at two rotating circles way too much in this game. Not a huge deal breaker, but it is fairly irritating. It's also possible that it might be the heat messing with my Xbox. So you never know. AI seems a lot more ruthless in this game. I played the past couple of years of this. I usually always put it on the easier settings so that I could just, you know, race and move on and not have to worry about finishing first and fighting for a first place fin. I want to win. That's what I want out of games. I want to win. I don't give a fuck about the competition. I want to win at games. And I had to fight for some victories in this one. Part of that, I believe, is the controls feel a lot more tighter in this game, and not in a good way, where like you'll nudge left or nudge right and you'll just go flying left and right. Things just seem too tight in this game. It's possible that you could go through like all the fine tuning and working with like the suspension and everything else, but I don't really do that. I'm more of a casual racer. I've always handled these from the more casual perspective. I'm sure the hardcore motocross people out there love everything of going in and handling all the minute details. But for me, I prefer them to be more pick up and play, which they've been in the past, but this one just seems a lot more harder to get into and a lot more difficult to really get a feel of the controls and get a handle of the races and everything else. It just seems a lot more difficult this go around, which, you know, hit or miss, depending on if you like the difficulty in games or not. I couldn't even imagine playing this game with the hard AI. They would be lapping me in an instant. I would do horrible.
Wow.
I think the funniest part of this game is the announcer for the game. They have, it sounds like a guy out of a 50s action movie where it's like, they're lining up at the gate and it's a nice day for racing. It sounded so campy and over the top, and I loved it. I think that's another thing that's going to be hit or miss with people, but I really enjoyed it. $50 on this one. I don't know. I think Monster Energy from last year was a better game. I thought it played better. It didn't look as good as this year's game, but I would prefer to trade the visual fidelity for an easier to get into game. That said, it's not a bad game by any stretch of the imagination. $50, I still give it a try. If you haven't played last year's game and you want to pick up a game, it's still a good one to get into. All the tutorials there, it eases you in fairly well with all the training options that are there. But once you get into the races, you're going to have to concentrate and work on winning, because it's not a gimme this time around.
Damn.
Yeah. It's still good. It's just, I think last year was better. So what are you going to do? Next game to talk about is called Gnome's Garden 3, The Thief of Castles, developed by Creobit, published by 8Floor, released July 4th on Xbox One for $4.99. The gnome princess has finally come home. She managed to make peace with the trolls and befriend their queen, but at home, evil was afoot. A warlock collector stole the gnome monarch's castle along with the royal family. Princess must gather a team and set off on a new adventure to save her loved ones. Cole, tell us about this one.
So this is a point-and-click strategy game, which means I like it already. it's already in my wheelhouse, and it's easy, and I like easy games. Hint, hint.
I have a feeling I know where this one's going.
So there's a story here about a princess and ogres and gremlins, and I don't want to give all that away. I don't want to spoil it.
Real quick question with the story. Does it give you enough backstory to get into this game? Because I'm guessing that it's called Gnome's Garden 3, that there were two other Gnome's Garden games before that are not on Xbox One. So do they catch you up enough on the story?
I think, yeah, it does a pretty good job. There's a couple of longer-winded cutscenes at the beginning, and they kind of explain who the princess is and how we get to where we are.
That's good.
The story itself is not particularly tied to the gameplay, if that makes sense. Like, you can play the game and just be like, oh, I forgot there was a story until the cutscene come around, and you're fine. It does play. It will remind you of a mobile game, unfortunately, in how it plays, because it's basically set up with a map with each level represented as a dot around the map, and there are four different environments, if you will, that you're going to play through. And then you click on the little circle to go to that specific level. It's very Candy Crush-ish, if you get what I'm saying, as far as the level layout goes.
I think it feels mobile-like because it is a mobile game.
Yeah. I was trying not to be like, it's a mobile, because it is on Xbox, so it's now technically an Xbox game as well.
True, very but, true.
And it was on Steam. So, I mean, the point-and-click mechanic is obviously far better suited for Steam and mobile. Yeah. But they did a fine job as far as it goes for this. When you're in a level, you have a cursor and you move it around, you know, with your thumbstick, and then you just press A to click. Each level is set up. There's more than 40. Each level is set up with a pre-designed path, and there are different obstacles in the path. It'll be like, you know, there's a pile of wood or tree trunk or whatever is blocking it, and then there may be stones blocking the path, or a hole or a bog, you know, just kind of random different obstacles. And you will start each level with a little house of gnomes, and you can go send the gnomes out to collect the different materials. There's food and wood and stone, and once they gather those resources, you can then decide how you're going to use those resources to build up the different buildings and access different characters and NPCs that you're going to need, like a sorceress or a firefighter, in order to ultimately check off the items on a task list. And once your little to-do list is done, you beat the level and you get to go to the next.
Yay!
It's very simple. It's easy. It's relaxed. The most damaging, stressful thing that can happen is sometimes a gremlin will come out and take your resources.
Son of a bitch in gremlins.
And then you're just like, wait, but I waited a long time for that stone. I needed it. And he took it. And then you just have to sit and wait for more stone. If you've got a firefighter, send him after the gremlin. And he yells at it. He goes, hey. And then the gremlin runs away. And he doesn't steal your shit. It's not anything that's going to make you go, oh my God, this is amazing. But it's a $5 game. And it does what it does very well. It played perfectly. I didn't have any problems with crashing. The controls were functional. It's actually pretty cute. The cutscenes and stuff kind of have like that Saturday morning cartoon vibe to them.
Mm-hmm.
Where you're just like, yeah, I think I watched this in the 80s sometime. And it's okay. it's fine. You're not mad at it for that.
It'll be nostalgic for me.
Yeah, a little bit. But I really just enjoyed it. I think one of my favorite... It was like 3 o'clock in the morning the other day, and I couldn't sleep, and I was just sitting there playing. And I'm like, fuck those gremlins. At 3 a.m.
Oh, God. Was
stealing my stone. But I had a lot of fun with it, and $5... It's really hard to be like, it doesn't have this or that. It's just like, no, it's a $5 game and it's good for it.
You mentioned it's easy. Are the achievements easy in it?
The first 800, yes. The first 800 are basically just for accomplishing, you know, tasks that you're going to do throughout the game anyway. The last achievement is worth 200 Gs.
Oh, boy.
And it is for 3-starring all the levels. So that one is going to be a bit of a grind. The way that you 3-star a level is basically on the left-hand side, there's a little bar, and it's full when you start the level, and it gradually ticks down. And that the rate at which it ticks down seems to be different for every level. Like, it wasn't consistent at all. But there are 3 different stars placed along that bar. And basically, once the green gets below a star, you lose it. So
gotcha.
Just be as fast as possible. The only thing I can really complain about is that it's entirely possible. It is a strategy game.
Good. I'm not the only one who can't talk tonight.
Shared it. Thanks. It is a strategy game. And you can fuck around and use your resources and not be able to get more of that specific resource, and then you can't complete anything.
So you have to restart a level.
And it doesn't come up and warn you, you know, oh, you're unable to get this resource, start over. You have to sit there. You can keep playing through and then be like, oh, shit. I'm 2 stone shy because of that fucking gremlin. you know, and then you can't get any more because some levels might not have a quarry for you to mine for stone. You might only be able to use the stone that was already on the map. So if that happens, you can lose a lot of time just continuing to play through a level only to discover you can't actually finish it. And then you have to press start and go hit restart to trigger it on your own. There's no automation to the whole, hey, you fucked up. Do you want to try again? That's really my only complaint with the game, though, because everything else was just, it was perfectly fine for a $5 game. But please tell me when I've already fucked up.
Well, $5 on it. What's your official verdict?
I give it a fuck it. Why not? Like, this is just one of those chill games where you just want to sit down and be like, I want something easy and I just want to move a cursor around and click shit. You're there. This will do it.
Nice. I already said fuck it. Why not? And bought it on the 4th when I saw it in the store. I didn't. Very nice. When we got it, I didn't know what the price was going to be. So when I saw it was $5, I'm like, hell yeah, let's do this.
Sometimes, though, like, there's some games where you go, it's $5. Just fuck it.
Yeah, and this is one of them. So, yeah. Good stuff. Final game to talk about tonight is called The Journey Down Chapter 3, developed and published by Sky Goblin, released July 6th on Xbox One and PS4 for $19.99. In the final chapter of The Journey Down, Buona, Kido, and Lena explore the vast reaches of the underworld and unravel its long-forgotten history. Their adventure comes to a bombastic conclusion when they learn the true nature of the great Asili Tree? Asili? Yep. And the Armando Power Company. So, what goes on in Chapter 3?
I can't tell you. It's a spoiler.
Okay. So, what'd you give it? $20. What is this game for the people who didn't hear our coverage of the first two chapters?
I know this is going to come as a huge shock, but this is a point and click. Surprise. Nobody thought I would play that.
I am floored by that news.
So this is a point and click adventure game. I lost my train of thought. Give me a second.
It's literally the beginning of the review. You said it is a point and click adventure game, and that was it.
Do you know how many I made through before I lost my train of thought? This is the third review. I'm doing good.
If you were halfway through it, I could understand losing your train of thought. It's literally, you said it's a point and click adventure. Go. Shit, words.
That's exactly what happened, too. Like, you could see the words just dripping out of my ears. They just abandoned ship.
Okay, so let's try this again. Journey Down, Chapter 3. For the people who haven't heard our coverage of the first two chapters, what do you think of it? What is this game?
You fucked that up. It is a point.
I didn't fuck up. That's exactly what I meant to say.
The Journey Down Chapter 3 is a point-and-click adventure game. Surprise, nobody thought I'd play those. You take on the role of...
I am floored by that revelation.
It's like we've done this before.
Okay, point-and-click adventure game. Okay. All right, focus.
No, I've got the giggles this time.
Yes, I broke you.
Oh, shit. Oh, too many drugs.
Not enough drugs.
Not enough. Kiff, please. Okay, so The Journey Down is a point-and-click adventure game where you play as Buona, and it has a very Afro-Caribbean vibe. We've mentioned this in the two previous reviews. But it's carried on, obviously, because it's the third chapter. So it's worth mentioning that it's still the same thing. Mm-hmm. the whole premise of the game up to this point has been that the Armando Power Company has been trying to get their hands on a journal that Buona and his brother Kido have that details their father, Kaunin Dodo. Yeah, I said it right. Yay me, Kaunin Dodo. it only took me 3 episodes to say that. that it details his journey to what's called the Underland. So his purpose of going to the Underland was to try to find riches so that he could take care of his boys. But this led to the discovery of some power sources that would do much harm in the wrong hands. And so now the head of the Armando Power Company, get it, would like to rise to a different type of power using I'm trying not to spoil it by saying what they are. Sources that can be found in the Underland. So it's not only up to Buona and Kido to basically stop the power company from gaining too much power, but they're also on a personal mission because Cao Nandato disappeared when they were still quite young. And they don't know what has happened to him. And since he was their father figure, they're hoping that this journey and recreating the trip that he took might somehow give them some closure on what has happened to him. They are also joined by some other very interesting characters that we are introduced to in this particular episode. It's a little weird to be at the end of a game and have new characters be introduced, though. And so they feel a little... They're red shirts. They just feel like red shirts. And you're just like, there's only one reason to give me this many new characters now.
A lot of them die off.
Maybe, maybe not. But they're not... You're not going to get attached to them.
Makes sense.
One downfall of this particular episode is that it's shorter. Like the first two, the first one was crazy short. You could speed run the first one in under 45 minutes.
Yeah, I remember you saying that.
This one again is probably only in the hour to hour and a half range.
Oh, wow. You're
just moving through it. The puzzles are nowhere near as complicated, and they're a little on the dull side. The few that there even are a little on the dull side. The biggest draw to this particular chapter is obviously you want the conclusion to the series if you've invested in the other two. And so in a way, you kind of don't even mind. You're just like, yeah, I get it. Okay, click this, click that, put it together, get me through here. What happens next?
Let's see the end of this story.
Yeah, I'm ready to let this ship sail. you know, it's not necessarily a bad thing. You do kind of wish, though, that for the price you were getting a little more for your money.
Makes sense.
If, you know, the series, if it were one whole game in one piece and you were paying one price, and I realize you can buy it as a bundle, but it is sold as three separate chapters and three separate games. And so if it were just like one long experience, it wouldn't be so bad.
Where as a standalone $20, it just feels lacking.
It is. You're just kind of like, okay, but where's the rest? Yeah. Especially for those that have had to wait in between the different chapters.
Yeah, because originally, like, we got the three of them within the span of a month and a half. Originally, like, these three chapters were years apart.
Right.
From beginning to end.
That is quite a long wait to only get a handful of puzzles that aren't even really puzzling. There are some new mechanics added into this one too. The area though, given that the game is shorter and the puzzles are not as difficult, the areas that you can explore are actually larger. And there's a new travel system, whereas in the first two, you just click on the edge of the map and you go that direction to the next scene. This one, there's actually like a subway system or a train, and you can move around to different districts in the area that you're in. And even another part later has you on a boat with a map, and you can choose from different areas to go to. It does kind of just feel like padding, though.
Yeah.
You know, and it's just like, oh, look what you can do while you wait for this to load. So that we can get you another cutscene real quick.
Yeah. Well, so you don't go into the story too much more. $20 is a standalone game. What do you think of this one?
For a standalone, it's more of a try it. All right. Just because 40, it is shorter.
$40 for the full package, all three chapters. What do you think of that?
Buy it. Because this is actually a really enjoyable experience. The story's payoff is really good. There's a cutscene at the end that I don't want to give away any details of it. It's not the prettiest cutscene in the world, especially considering that for most of chapter 3, there's been a big uptick in the quality of the artwork. But this last cutscene, it's kind of ugly. And you don't care because it's fucking amazing. And you're just like, yeah, I do not care how bad it looks. It was so cool.
Well, it's good to hear that the whole journey as a whole is, is worth checking out.
It really is. I really enjoyed the story. I'd also like to point out, I mentioned it before when we did chapter 2's review, that the musician that was working on the soundtrack passed away of a brain tumor. You can buy the soundtracks for the Journey Down on Bandcamp, and the proceeds from that go to are donated to brain tumor charities.
That's pretty so awesome.
That is incredible, and that definitely deserves an extra shout out. It's you can tell very much so that the impact that the musician had, even though he is gone, he had quite an impact on the game, even just beyond the way the music sounds. So
that's cool to hear.
Yep.
Cool. Well, that is it for this show. It is. I like this show. This was a good show. I like the more casual nature of this one.
Same.
It's good stuff.
I'm not mad at all, even though I lost my train of thought.
I got to bust your balls about it.
I had to grow balls for you to bust.
Works for me. I like my girls with balls on them.
We don't judge. It's 2018.
Bring it on. I accept all kinds of balls. Man balls, woman balls, lady balls. Balls are awesome. What the fuck am I saying?
I don't know.
All right. So final words for this episode. You got any?
Balls.